The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
No is what's about to happen. If there's echo when we start with the recording and everything, if there's echo, just on there, just say, hey, echo's there, and I'll kill it. But I'm trying to figure this out. So we're coming back with Scott Bell here in 5, 4, 3.
And welcome back, folks, to the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Always fun. You know, look, I'm going to get the hang of when we're on video, kind of reacting to sharing with the radio listeners that was a reaction to someone on the video stream. I kind of just blurt out, hey, Chuck. People are like, who the hell is he talking about? It's one of the listeners jumping in via live stream. So we'll get that dance down, but it definitely is a great new added element to our offerings here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The same can be said for our 9 o'clock guest. He has become a staple. Love having him on, especially this week when you talk about it being Michigan State week and Sparty looking decrepit, looking like a JV team. Looking like they should mail in the season. It's 7 turnovers in a game. Were they trying to throw it? I don't know. But we're going to talk Michigan, Minnesota first with a guy that I'm calling the mayor of Michigan Twitter. I think it is a fitting title for a guy who, if you follow him at S Spell, and you go to Twitter and, you type, getting in there now. I can do it with you, and give you the low of it at SBell 021. Again, at SBell 021, you will get your fill of Michigan info and intel, analysis, Sparty snipes, Buckeye snipes. They don't get better than our friend Scott Bell. Scott, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic, as one would expect. Let's block off a couple segments for this and book me for the rest of the week. got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do. So we've been discussing for the last few weeks, Scott, about having a discussion about what expectations are versus where they should be when you have so much newness on the offense, especially at quarterback, and then they go out. And they look in the game like people say they looked in practice, just a complete domination offensively, 10 straight scoring drives where there was an attempted score at least at the end, 7 touchdowns, 3 missed field goals, just no answer for them past that first stop for Minnesota. I'm curious where that performance ranks, how it stacks up to what your expectations were heading into it.
From a realistic standpoint, it's the closest thing to a best-case scenario you can get. Minnesota, a little shorthanded in some spots, but fact of the matter remains, it's still one of the favorites to beat the Big Ten West. And while it wasn't a traditional road game, it was adverse conditions. You're still traveling. You're still preparing at a different stadium. And Michigan walked in there, and, It was borderline flawless when you consider it was the first game. They ran when they needed to run. They passed when they needed to pass. And Joe Milton looked cool, calm, and collective, made the throws, was patient running. When he needed to hit that extra gear on a couple of runs, he did that. And if you're walking away from Saturday's games with complaints, yes, there are things to shore up, but you should be absolutely elated with how that game went.
I thought it was a masterclass in play calling, and without even going very deep into the playbook. Josh Gattis couldn't have gotten halfway through his play sheet, Scott. He didn't have to call much, and yet his mixture of plays, his mixture of personnel, it all worked. It all clicked. If he spent the first half of last season getting dialed in, he's been dialed in ever since.
No, absolutely. I had takeaways after the game on my newsletter, and the first two items were, like I just talked about, Joe Milton was great, but it was the best game I've seen Josh Gattis call. I think it was innovative and progressive without being heavy-handed, and I just think it was a really deftly called game where you're putting people in position to win. It's not archaic formations, but you're also not making it too gimmicky or too much about you. And it just seemed like every call essentially worked, but every call also made sense. And even on the touchdown or the would-be touchdown pass that Eric Aall dropped, where he ended up almost scoring a touchdown in the next play, there were plays that were called to set up bigger things down the line, and they worked. And it's really cool to, there's almost like an element of storytelling to Gattis's play calling, and I thought it was artful. I thought it was beautiful. It's some things we've seen in college football in recent years, but we haven't necessarily seen it in Ann Arbor. And I'm very, very good with this new development, and hope there's more of that to come.
Yeah, no doubt. And so you switch to the other side of the ball. Felt like they were going to be they were a really good pressure team last year statistically. I mean, we could really see that. There were, you know, one of the questions that, you know, that I won't say critics, but people who scrutinize things very closely offer up is, okay, yeah, but high pressure against whom? You know, against the better teams, you know, was that pressure as present? Now, you know, it remains to be seen where Minnesota ranks among the better teams in the Big Ten. But this was a game where the pressure really made a difference because of the statistic. And we heard our Mike Porter from Monster Tree Service mention this earlier this morning. Said Tanner Morgan isn't just an accurate quarterback. He was the most accurate quarterback over 20 yards last year, and he didn't look like it on Saturday. And I think largely due to certainly want to give the defensive backs, the young DBs, the young corners, some credit. But I thought that had everything to do with the pressure up front, Scott.
Yeah. And last week we were talking about kind of keys and things we were looking forward to. And I said, I thought it was going to be really important for Michigan to find ways to get pressure on Minnesota without having to send a lot of exotic blitzing packages. And obviously Michigan sent a lot of good blitzes that caught them off guard, the Barrett sack that led to the Jeter touchdown and other things like that. But there were also some really key moments where Michigan did get pressure on Minnesota with 3-4 man rushes. I think of the third and goal when it was 14-7 when Quiddy Pay got to Morgan, forced the incompletion, and Minnesota had to kick the field goal. That was really Minnesota's last drive to tie the game, and that was in the first quarter. And that was a time where Minnesota's got 4 or 5 wide receivers out there, and from a Michigan youthful secondary standpoint, you want as many people to be able to drop back as possible. And to have that option, to have 7 or 8 people dropping back to cover, to try to cover up these receivers, that luxury is there when you can get that pressure. And you saw that from Quiddy Pay, you saw that from a couple other people, and it was really good. And then, of course, if you're getting that base down there, you have so much more creativity and freedom with your defensive calls. And I think we saw that, especially in the second half of Saturday's game.
Yeah, you know, now on the, if we want to talk about the things to improve upon, the flaws were obvious. Scott, we're talking to Scott Bell, mayor of Michigan, Twitter is what we call him here on our show. Scott, the run defense and special teams, you know, left a lot to be desired on both sides. Now, again, in the overall grand scheme of things, you got to be elated with how they looked in the opener. But at the same time, if you're a coach for Michigan, you're coming out of it and saying, hey, all right, it's great that we won, but I can really, really see the things that we gotta work on in practice. And those obviously being the biggest ones, the kicking game and then the run defense.
Yeah, and in a weird way, I'm guessing coaches might even like that because it's, yes, be excited about your win, yes, celebrate Saturday night or whatever, but I think it's good to have some glaring things to focus on so your team's not going to get too high. You don't let your lows get too lows, your highs get too highs. But, yeah, I was pretty surprised Ibrahim rushed so well, especially with Minnesota having some people out on their offensive line. So there's definitely a lot to clean up there, and it doesn't take a veteran analyst to point out that missing three field goals is not ideal either. So there's stuff to shore up there, and I think it's good because it gives the team something to focus on going forward, and not going to be strutting around reading its own press clippings, getting too excited. And there's definitely some stuff to shore up.
All right, so let's get some kind of big picture, Big Ten perspective here, because obviously Michigan State, they looked rather JV like. They looked rather inept. They looked rather pitiful. They looked like a team that has to question whether or not they will win another game. Scott, I mean, I said this morning, if you lose to a team in North Jersey, the Jets, the Giants, or Rutgers, you have to question your value as a football team this year. Like, why do we play? Because we just probably won't win another game if you lose to any of those teams. That has to be what Michigan State is thinking this morning. The flip side of it is it was the opener. It was just one game. And you can say the same thing about Michigan. So kind of big picture this for me. When you look at Michigan's performance in week one, you look at Michigan State's performance in week one, you look at Wisconsin's performance in week one, do you have a different view of how the Big Ten is or will shake out?
Not really. I mean, going into – now, I will say, not in my wildest dreams would I have imagined Michigan State lost to Rutgers, but I'm not complaining. That's great. But when we're talking about the Big Ten standings and the actual relevant programs, where I feel about the top of the league hasn't really changed that much. I had Michigan in my power rankings number two. I did have Penn State number three, but going into this week, I also did predict the Indiana upset. So that just seemed kind of ripe for the pickings, and it was cool to see Indiana close on a game like that, especially in such dramatic fashion. But I was really impressed with Wisconsin. I don't think people expected Badgers to air it out as much as they did. Still interested to see who ends up being their lead back. Nikia Watson's probably the person that looked the best on Friday, but nobody really sort of stepped into the Jonathan Taylor role. But I think Wisconsin's the favorite in the West now, and the East is still Ohio State's to win. But I came in thinking Michigan was a little bit above Penn State and others in that second tier in the East, and nothing I saw on Saturday leads me to change my mind on that thought.
What a brain fart. I just Penn State, if you had an opinion of James Franklin as a coach, I don't care where you are on that meter, you have to be coming away from that contest extremely critical of the way that they absolutely blew winning a game that should have been a surefire win, Scott, and they lost that one. Now, that was not a game that I had on the lost side of the ledger. I felt really good about Michigan beating Penn State. Feel even better now. Indiana, I knew was going to be tough. Always a trap game. I'm curious, as you look at the Nittany Lions, how you kind of see Nittany Lions and Hoosiers, how you see them fitting into the picture. And then you mentioned Wisconsin, but there is a very significant storyline coming out of Madison this morning, or starting yesterday, about Graham Mertz getting a positive COVID test. If that positive test winds up being confirmed, Scott, he's out for weeks, for 3 weeks to be exact, and that includes the Michigan game. So, you know, things, at least in Michigan's upcoming schedule here, Wisconsin, Indiana, Penn State, you know, those contests, based on what we have seen here over the last couple of weeks, I wonder if folks are looking at those games a little bit differently.
Yeah, first and foremost on the Wisconsin thing, I'm obviously, for his sake and for the program's sake, I'm hoping it's false positive. Mertz looked fantastic. I think that program's very excited about him and his play and where they're at. And yeah, if you're a Michigan fan against Wisconsin, you want to have as many competitive advantages as possible, but not if it means him getting sick. So with that out of the way, I
agree.
Hope that's good. As for the Penn State stuff, not to pat myself on the back, but I spent a lot of this offseason defending Jim Harbaugh against James Franklin, especially in these offseason coaching rankings and stuff. I've never seen it with James Franklin. I really haven't. And I think a lot of narratives around him are really, really lazy. I think I'm going to have to bump back my newsletter from this summer onto Twitter after this to look at the side-by-side rankings of Jim Harbaugh and James Franklin, because the only place where Franklin has the edge over Harbaugh is apparently when it comes to national media narratives, because Harbaugh's got the head-to-head. He's got a bunch of other data and facts. Crazy me for bringing those up. They're in his favor, and you look at the two teams on Saturday and how they were prepared and what these coaches were doing in game situations, and it's night and day. It really is. I just don't get it with James Franklin, and I think there was a lot of excitement on Penn State heading into this season, but the arrow's starting to point down. I mean, you've got some unlucky stuff with Johnny Brown's injury, but you also look at how a program like that, that's in the top 10, the top 5 of some people's preseason polls, you look at how they're recruiting right now, and it's getting harder to sell that program right now.
I agree. It'll be interesting to see if there are ultimately recruiting repercussions beyond the ones that we may be seeing now. I mean, you lose a legacy guy like Nolan Rucci. You Penn State fans are beside themselves over that one. But let's talk Michigan State. I mean, look, if Michigan State is a brand that you know is worth is attached to, how much is Michigan State's branding really worth to anyone at this point? Scott, a team that goes out 7 turnovers in a game. I know it's the opener, but damn, did you practice? How does that happen?
I'll concede you this. Michigan State has a brand. It's not a brand I don't think many people want anything to do with, though. It's interesting that that's something they're trying to pitch on people, because a lot of people have opinions when they hear Michigan State, but I don't think they're very good opinions. Like I said, from a Michigan fan standpoint, I couldn't really have scripted how the opening week looked any better. I tweeted during the game. I personally, I don't like night games because they make me wait and pace around, and I'm a nervous guy before games. So usually it's kind of hell on Saturday for me. But man, this past Saturday was great, getting the noon Michigan State Rutgers kickoff, and that was just a gift that keeps on giving, and it helped bridge us closer to the night game. So I'm shocked. I'm shocked Michigan State lost. I'm shocked they not only lost by double digits, they were trailing by double digits for more than half the game. And it's, you look at, okay, yeah, Michigan lost to Rutgers in 2014 or whatever it was. That's a 26-24 game where it's kind of back and forth. Something turns right at the end. It's also on the road. But Rutgers had this game under control. They were up 14-0 halfway through the first quarter, and they just kind of cruised to victory after that. And I know Mel Tucker was saying his identity is you want to run the ball even when everyone else in the stadium and on TV knows you're going to be running the ball. Well, they averaged 1.3 yards per carry against a team that hadn't won a Big Ten game in 21 straight games. So if this is what the Mel Tucker era is going to look like in Michigan State, make me a booster there, because I want to keep feeding money to them. I want to extend this program and this era as long as possible.
I hear you, Scott. Look, they legitimately could go winless. I mean, their best shot, hate to say it, Ira. I mean, look, your other team.
You can team, say it, Sam. They're terrible.
But your other team, your other school better come through, man, because it's November 21st at Maryland. To me, at least on paper, that's their best shot. But look at this. Think about this. They could legitimately go 0-8 in these games. They got Michigan this weekend. Then they have to go to Iowa. They host Indiana. Then it's at Maryland. Then they host Northwestern, who look good.
Sam, is there a crossover team that they would play in the ninth game that they could beat, maybe, and that is not yet on the schedule?
Maybe.
Illinois, maybe?
Maybe. Who beat them last year. This could get really, really, really ugly. Not that I would complain, Scott. I know you wouldn't complain either. So do you have any concern over what we have seen typically over the years? This can be a hotly contested, tight game. You always get Michigan State's best effort, all of those cliches. Any concern about that heading into this game? I'm sure we're gonna hear from some fans who say, but it's a rivalry game. Don't give them bulletin board material. That'll get them fired up for this game. I just don't think any of it matters, Scott.
No. I know I have a tendency of giving long-winded answers, but my answer to that question is no. If we're playing Mark D'Antonio's team and you're looking at a 25-point spread or whatever, I would take the points because even if Michigan's got its backups in the fourth quarter, you know D'Antonio's going to be calling timeouts down 31, trying to go for a touchdown to make it a 24-point loss in the last minute of the game. But there's absolutely nothing I saw from the previous Saturday that makes me even remotely concerned. My biggest worry going into this game is just hoping everyone stays healthy. My biggest concern is making sure I don't say anything on Twitter that's going to get me in trouble in my job, because I look at this as going to be 60 minutes, 3 hours worth of pure entertainment. I hope everyone joins along in on the fun, because it's rivalry games are supposed to be fun. I'm going to have fun. I'm not sure our friends 60 minutes up the road in East Lansing are going to have as much fun, but this is why you talk the trash and why you sit, and when you lose, you take it, because as long as you can take it when things aren't right, you get to enjoy dishing it out, and I'm going to empty the clip this weekend.
As am I, Scott, always a treat, always a pleasure to have you on. Before we let you go, I certainly obviously point people to your Twitter account at SBell021, but tell them about your newsletter and how they can get it.
The newsletter is scottbell.substack.com. You can also Google Scott Bell newsletter. Right up at the top, and it's been fun. I started it during a pandemic, and there was a lot of mailbags, things just kind of looking ahead toward the season, and now there's actual stuff to get to react to. So I'll have weekly podcasts, got takeaways up from this weekend's game, and I'll have plenty of stuff previewing Michigan State. So now's a great time to hop aboard.
All right. Great stuff as always, Scott. Have a great week. Have fun Saturday, and we will have fun recapping it on Monday, man. Looking forward to it. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll see you then.
That was Scott Bell, Mayor of Michigan Twitter. great follow over on Twitter at SBell021. Be sure to check him out. Have you had fun this morning? Folks, give me your takeaways. I mean, so much of this has been about what we thought about the opener. What did you think? How did this game stack up to your expectations? How did Joe Milton stack up to your expectations? Start digging into that on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.